Okay, we're here this morning with Mary Bond Berry of West Jarrettsville Road. It's September 21st. I'm Deborah Bowers. Mary Bond Berry has been a teacher for 50 years in Harford County Schools, spending a lot of that time at the Hickory Elementary School. Mrs. Berry, you were born in 1925, I guess, right here in Harford County?
Yes, I was born on Grafton Shop Road.
Okay.
Right here in Forrester.
And you had some brothers and sisters?
There were six persons in my family. Uh-huh. I had two sisters and three brothers.
Uh-huh. Okay, and did they all grow up here too, and are they still here?
All of my brothers grew up here in Forest Hill, but all three of them are now deceased. There are only two persons now living in my family. That's my sister that lives in Aberdeen and me.
Huh, okay. Tell me about your earliest childhood memories and about your parents and who they were.
Okay. My parents were Clara Virginia Kelbon and Winfield Bond.
Uh-huh.
They were both persons that were born in Harford County and lived in Harford County all of their lives, working for, as you indicated in the earlier part of the tape, my father worked for farmers in the area, and my mother did domestic work, working for the people in Forest Hill, such as the doctor, the bank director, other persons who were of that caliber.
You mean Dr. Barthel?
She worked for Dr. Hudson.
Dr. Hudson, uh-huh.
She worked for McClines.
Uh-huh.
She worked for Mr. Harry Z. Heaps, who was director of Forest Hill State Bank up until his death.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, do you remember any of the farms that your father worked on?
Yes. My father spent the most of his farm, did most of his farm work for Frank Ford.
Frank Ford?
Uh-huh, over on High Point Road.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think it was High Point Road. Uh-huh. And he worked for that family for a long period of time. My mother also did some work for them.
Uh-huh.
And my father also worked on the Roy Tucker farm.
Mm-hmm. Where was that?
Here in Forest Hill.
Uh-huh.
And after he stopped doing work for specific farmers, he then did work on his own. For a period of time, he was custodian at the Forest Hill Elementary School.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that time, he plowed gardens for people in the area. He had his own horse and his own plow.
Mm-hmm.
And he plowed gardens for people throughout the community.
Mm-hmm.
He was very much in demand.
That he was. And you went to school at that time at one-room school, Fairville Elementary School?
Mm-hmm. My elementary years were spent at one-room school on High Point Road.
Mm-hmm.
And that building still remains there, but it has been turned into a nice little house now. And now the pastor of Fairville Church now resides there.
Hmm.
And even though that was a one-room school, there were lots of pleasant memories and lots of good learning that took place in that room. I only knew one teacher. That was Catherine Lee Dees, who is now deceased. But she was an excellent teacher, and I give her the credit for my going into teaching because she had such a good impression on me. That from elementary school on, I always wanted to be a teacher.
Oh, darn. What was her last name?
Catherine Lee Gease. G-E-A-S-E.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. So she was your elementary school teacher from grades 1 through 6?
7. 1 through 7. Because at that time, elementary school went to grade 7.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. And all your brothers and sisters attended there?
All the members of my family attended there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you remember any particular classmates or any things that happened there while you were in school?
While I was at school, I was especially friendly with Martha Dover. Her name is Martha Dover Bradford now.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, she was Martha Dover.
Mm-hmm. I knew a Dover in school, too.
Martha Dover Bradford.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Elizabeth Jamison at that time. She's now Mary Elizabeth Jamison Pascal. But mm-hmm. at that time, she was Mary Elizabeth Jamison.
Mm-hmm. What, did you walk to school?
Yes, we walked to school.
And that was, let's see, probably not too far for you.
A mile.
About a mile.
About a mile. And, it was, and you know, I never missed a day in school.
Huh.
Even though we were walking. And then schools weren't closed during the winter time. We went to, you know. We didn't close for the bad days like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have a bus to ride. But I can remember one day going to school. It was so cold. And somebody had given my mother at Christmas time some cookies in this little round lunchbox.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were gone, I asked her, could I use that for a lunchbox? And that one very, very cold day, I was carrying my lunchbox. And when I got to school, my fingers were just so cold, they had trouble getting them from the lunchbox.
Oh, they were frozen to the metal box.
Mm-hmm. And that was really rough. And it worried my oldest sister, Florence, who kind of thought she was, you know, the mother of the family when we were on our way to school.
Mm-hmm.
And she just worried her all day in school to think that, you know, she didn't how she would explain mm-hmm. that to my mom, that my fingers had been, you know, frozen to that lunchbox. And of course, they did, you know, all morning in school, I was uncomfortable.
Oh, you think they were frostbit?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But, we always hiked up that road.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that was a long hike, and you did that every day.
Every day.
Did you ever get in trouble with any of the other neighborhood kids? Or?
No, I didn't, but I can, and members of my family didn't. Because we had been taught that, just like it says in the Bible, turn the other cheek. And although that's difficult sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but my brothers and sisters were not, they were peacemakers
mm-hmm.
and not people for starting arguments and so forth. However, there were times when some of the other kids would be arguing or they would say they were going to fight at the end of the school day. And some of the kids that would go to that school would be coming this way. Others would be walking up as far as Jarrettsville.
Hmm. Oh.
And sometimes there'd be a disturbance between the people going in the opposite direction. And one day I remember my brothers and sisters decided that they were going to walk a little ways up that way because they were going to see what was going to happen for those kids that were about to fight. So they went that way and I went on home by myself. And when I got home, my mother said, why are you by yourself? And I told them, I told why they went up there. And then they got home, I saw them come and I hid. Because my mother met them with a switch.
Oh.
She switched them good.
Because they weren't supposed to go and watch a fight.
That's right. They weren't supposed to go that way. So she switched them good. And I was home and I ran in the dining room and hid behind the chair. But they never did that again.
Uh-huh.
She didn't switch them hard. My mother didn't believe in really.
Uh-huh.
But she said, that's switching. She said, now I'm giving you the switching because you know you're not supposed to do this again.
Mm-hmm.
When you do it again, then I will really make you feel it. But you know, older parents did that, but they didn't abuse children.
Mm-hmm.
My parents didn't. My parents could really get us to do what she wanted to do by her voice and the way she would talk with us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that would bring tears in your eyes, and you would just be sitting there, and you'd be just so sorry that you hurt her,
mm-hmm.
because you could see that it really bothered her. She would go against what she had taught you, and mm-hmm. we would just almost have tears in our eyes that we'd done it. But we were not children to disobey,
mm-hmm.
and I credit that to my parents, because they were not, you know, people who dealt with us with beatings and so forth, mm-hmm. but they were firm, mm-hmm. and we understood.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So you were supposed to come straight home after school. Mm-hmm. That was the rule, I guess.
That was the rule, you come straight home. Mm-hmm.
Tell me about, you probably attended church nearby.
Yes, and we attended as children growing up, Fairview AME Church, and that's where I still go. It's the church right down here on High Point Road.
Fairview AME. Mm-hmm. Okay. I know that.
And it's right down here on the
corner. Mm-hmm.
The corner.
Mm-hmm. Right. And so would you walk there each Sunday, or did you?
No, my father had a car.
You had a car?
We mm-hmm. always had a car.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you'd all pile in the school, in the car and go to Sunday school and church.
We went to Sunday school and church. And then during those times, our church always had what we called camp meeting.
Camp meeting?
Mm-hmm. And so my father would go all day because he was a church custodian.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had to be there all day. And during the time that we had these camp meetings, we would have busloads of people coming out of Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
We'd have an afternoon service at 3:00. And then we would have the evening service at 8:00. And so we would have busloads of people coming for the afternoon service.
Mm-hmm.
We had exchanged services with churches from Baltimore. And for some reason, sick people always like to come out of the country. We always had good
mm-hmm.
food,
mm-hmm.
good, food from our gardens and things, because everybody would donate food. And so we would serve them dinners and things. And then they would have the afternoon service. And then those buses would go back in. Sometimes we have a different group, but it would always be a different group coming for the evening service.
Mm-hmm.
And we, as children, look forward to that because in those days, our parents couldn't afford to take us to a lot of things. So church was really important to us.
Right.
Like that was a chance to get out
right.
and see people. And so we really enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so church life was really important.
Very important.
We're talking mostly about the 1930s, I guess, and let's see, because you graduated high school in 42,
mm-hmm.
so we're talking about the 1930s and early 40s. Now, in 42, then, when you graduated from the Bel Air Colored High School, you decided to go to Morgan State, mm-hmm. because you already knew you wanted to be a teacher, right?
Yeah, I went to Morgan State. Because I knew I wanted to be a teacher, yes.
And, let's see here, you graduated from there then in 46, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you decided to teach English and Social Studies at the Bel Air Colored High School. So you started teaching in 47,
fall
probably?
Fall of 46.
Fall of 46.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I came out June 46,
mm-hmm.
and I started teaching fall of 46.
Okay. And tell me about your first students. You had
returning. Okay. Returning back to teach, coming back to Harford County to teach was very exciting because I went back to the school that I had graduated from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I was then teaching some of the students that I had been, a lot of students that I had been in school with was because we were at the old school in Bel Air on Hay Street for the high school classes,
mm-hmm.
but the elementary part of that school was elementary.
Uh-huh.
See, high school lived on that side, and on this side there were a couple elementary rooms. So we saw those children, the elementary children. And the other thing that was so interesting about it was that all grades from 1 through 12, 1 through 11, we went to 11th grade then,
mm-hmm.
came down to that building sometime during the day. Because, see, at that time, black children were housed in churches. There was no one big school
mm-hmm.
that would take all of the elementary children in the area. Because all of the children from the upper part of Harford County, the northern end of Harford County, were being bused into that school.
Huh.
And there was no one school big enough to house all of them. So some of them were up in the Baptist Church, New Hope Baptist, mm-hmm. on Vaughan Street in Bel Air. There used to be a fire department where there now are businesses, across from Portland Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
That little business section in there.
Right.
There used to be a fire department there. Some of the children were had classes, their shop classes in the fire department.
Do you want to answer this phone?
We can pop. So that's why when I came back to teach, there were a lot of those children in my classes that I knew. But it was very nice because, the kids, they always tease me about the fact that I said, yes, I'm young and I know some of you, but I've been away now for 4 years and I'm trained to teach and that I must. And they said,
they paid attention to
you. Yeah, So I didn't, I came back, I think, with the right attitude. And lots of people have told me since that it's difficult to come back home and teach, and especially with kids that you've been in school with, but they were very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them, they still call me, and when I see them, they thank me for having, gotten them on the right track, on having kept them on the right track. And I follow a very good teacher, the teacher that had taught me English and had worked so hard with me. And I think I emulated her a lot, too.
Who was that?
She was Sarah Taylor then.
Mm-hmm.
She is now Sarah Kane.
Kane?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I also was impressed with the principal at that school because I give him credit for my getting back to that school because he had encouraged me to go to college also. And he had also said to me when I was leaving to go to college that now you go to college and you work well, get good grades, and we'll have a job for you here in Hartford County.
Mm-hmm.
And that did take place. And I did go to school and work hard. And when I came back, he was very, outspoken for me to come to his school as an English teacher.
But he was proud of you.
He was.
What was his name?
Stephen Moore. Mm-hmm. Stephen P. Moore.
Was he, so he was the, had been the principal.
I had worked under him as the principal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had been a student
a
under
student,
him.
And then you became
and
a
then
teacher.
I came back and was a teacher under him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very helpful, and encouraging.
This was at the Bel Air
Colored High
School. Bel Air Colored High School, okay.
Mm-hmm.
You were an English teacher. How many teachers were there when you arrived in 46?
Let's see. I taught the English and social studies. There was a ninth grade core teacher, a eighth grade core teacher, and Mr. Moore taught the math and a home economics teacher. One more than five.
Mm-hmm.
Five or six.
Okay.
Shop. So shop would make six.
Okay. Do you remember those teachers? And
yes, I remember all their names. There was a home economics teacher named Sarah Hall. I think her name is Sarah Hall.
Sarah Hall. Mm-hmm.
She was a home economics teacher.
Okay.
William Rice. William Rice was a shop teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Gladys Williams, who is Dr. Percy Williams' sister, was the eighth grade core teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Reed Tittle. Mary Reed Tittle was the seventh grade core. And Stephen P. Moore was a math and social studies teacher also.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you tell me what it was like teaching there? What were your responsibilities?
Teaching there was a unique place to teach in that you didn't really have, and I don't know, take that word unique out of there.
Okay.
It was a very difficult place, let's say, to teach at because of the limited facilities, because of the limited books, Mm-hmm. And also limited space. Because you really did not have the necessary books for doing you didn't have enough books for every child to have a book.
Mm-hmm.
You did not have facilities to spread out and do group work, you know, like you do now.
Yeah.
And every room was taken up. So if you wanted to set aside a little group of children to give them extra, you know, work extra with them, there was no place to take them. The room was small. You didn't even hardly have enough space to move you back in the room, you know. You couldn't get away from the total group. So it was very difficult to do that. The other thing was that you had so many things to be responsible for. The first year I came out of college, the principal said to me, "We've not had a school newspaper. We'd like for you to think about doing that. Mm-hmm. We've not had a yearbook. We'd like for you to think about doing that."
Mm-hmm.
And those things then, you could not keep children after school. They all rode the bus. And many of those parents would not have been able to get back to get those children. So you had to see if on Saturdays, when they were off from work, that you pick them up and bring them to the school, and we would work on Saturday. So there were a lot of things that had to be done on your time, whereas now some of that can be done, can be worked into the school day, or you have, you know, special, it's worked into the curriculum.
Mm-hmm. So on Saturdays you would go and you would do projects.
Mm-hmm. Anything extra that we wanted to do, we would have to take our own time and do it on Saturday. Or if we stayed in the afternoons, we would have to be responsible for getting those children home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was difficult in that way. And yet we went on and did these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have a desire for children to grow, and you know some of these things are very important. And so you just try to do that. I think we were teachers, guidance counselors, parents.
Mm-hmm.
We did it all. We really did. Mm-hmm. And the thing that is nice about it, when children, just Sunday past, we had a special day at my church, and one of the students who graduated from my first, was in my first, the first graduating class, the year I taught, mm-hmm. She came back to MC the program, and that was what she mentioned. The fact that she went to Morgan State, and she said, "I followed after my English teacher who did such a good job. I went on to Morgan. I majored in English." She went to New Jersey because her husband, that she married, her college friend was from New Jersey. So once she married, she went to New Jersey to live. She taught English in high school in New Jersey. She then became vice principal. And her husband became superintendent of schools there. But now, they both retired, and they moved back to Hadley Grace area. Mm-hmm. And her mom's husband built a home there.
Mm-hmm.
And she says she's just so delighted that she's back with the people that she started out with. And I thought that was very good and highly complimentary.
That's what she said during your party that uh-huh. they gave you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Were you there?
No.
Uh-uh. Oh.
I did hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really nice. When was it?
April 18th.
April?
April 18th.
April 18th. They threw a party for you commemorating your 50 years mm-hmm. as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else do you remember about working at Bel Air Consolidated?
I think that we just had wonderful cooperation with the parents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the parents at that time, too. They kind of felt like that little school belonged to them. You know what I mean? And the reason for that was because they had to work Mr. Moore's mother, Stephen P. Moore's mother,
mm-hmm.
who was pretty well off for black in those times because she owned a restaurant and she owned mm-hmm. a lot of houses in the Bel Air area.
Mm-hmm.
And she was instrumental in giving a lot of money to that school. And parents appreciated that. And then from then on, they kind of felt like they ought to be doing what they could to help out. And so there was a closeness,
mm-hmm.
a special closeness between the parents of that old school and the teachers and the students.
Mm-hmm. Hmm, that's great. What about, now you said facilities and books were limited. Do you remember, how were decisions made about, do you remember the Board of Education and how money was given out to the schools? And how did that affect your school?
It affected our school greatly because it seems as though we were at the end of the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
Very little money we saw coming our way. Very little money did we get for books. And when we asked for books, we got the books from the other schools. When the other schools were throwing them out.
We got
the hand-me-downs. We got the books from the other schools. And sometimes it was not really the particular text we were using, but if we asked for history books, they would give us hand-me-downs from one of the other schools' history books. But they were not necessarily the one that we were using as a text.
I see.
And we did not have, for example, even when we came to the new school, which was built after this group of persons came in from, Dr. Willis had been getting some, you know, comments about people, and the NAACP was not as strong as it is now, but there were groups of people that were beginning to question the fact that we did not have more, and so then he wanted to do something that really wasn't geared toward helping us more, but it was because, as superintendent, he wanted to take a look at the educational program in Harford County.
Mm-hmm.
And in taking a look at the Harford County program in education, this group of outsiders who came in wrote in the report that, yes, you do have a good educational system, but you don't have facilities for your black members as good as what the farmers have for their cattle.
Wow, is that what they said?
That was in the report. And so after that, something had to be done. And so then it was the fight for a school for blacks in the upper part of Harford County was felt less. I mean, it was not as hard after that report came out because then he knew that something had to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But even in the building of the new school, they went all out to make sure that we got a good location.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wonderful location where that school is.
You're talking about the Hickory Elementary, originally the Central Consolidated.
Which is now being renovated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had a wonderful site, but we did not have, even then, the curriculum that we had in the other schools, other high schools in Harford County.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went there, we had elementary on the left, in the left wing,
mm-hmm.
high school in the right wing, and had one principal.
Mm-hmm.
And when we asked for a vice principal. And when the parents asked for a vice principal, they were told, that we could, this is the kind of dumb stuff they would tell you, expect you to buy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what irritates. They said to us that we couldn't have a vice principal because we were two different schools. Well, isn't that the reason why you ought to have two?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the kind of stuff. Those are the kind of answers they would give you and expect you to buy into that.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, it was for years before we could have, poor Dr. Williams worked like, I don't know what, to bring together those two schools and to develop a good school there. And that he did.
Mm-hmm.
But many a person would not have survived under what he had to go through.
Mm-hmm.
Because he had a big staff. He had as many there as some of the other schools had, more than what some of the other schools had to work with. And they had principal and vice principal. Yet we couldn't have
mm-hmm.
vice principal. And it was, I bet you, at least 5 to 6 years after we'd been there before we were given a vice principal.
Mm.
We didn't have a guidance counselor for a long time. We couldn't get a guidance counselor. We did not have business courses. We had no typewriters provided for. New school being built now with no business education.
Mm-hmm.
So even though we got the new school, our curriculum for a long time was limited.
That's Central Consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
So Dr. Percy Williams was the principal there, and mm-hmm. he had to do double duty,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even more than double duty.
Right.
Okay. Do you remember how many teachers were there? How many classes were there?
Mm.
It was a high school, No, it was a high school and an elementary. So, do you remember how many teachers there were?
Oh, there was never less than 25 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
You see, you had all grades and you had more than one at each level.
Mm-hmm. So there were quite a few students there. Mm-hmm. Now, at Central Consolidated, I mean, that is where the black kids went.
From the upper part of Harford County.
Okay.
Those in the lower part went to have degrees consolidated.
Okay.
There were just two schools for all the blacks in
Harford Grace, all the black kids from Aberdeen, Edgewood, Joppa, Magnolia area,
all went to
Harford Grace, and they went on buses.
Mm-hmm. Kids were bused to our school from Baltimore County.
From Baltimore County.
At the border line.
At the border.
You know what I mean?
All the way from
Farmville, Pennsylvania down here.
Hmm. Well,
that was a long ride.
Norrisville all the way to Hickory.
Mm-hmm. All that area.
Hmm.
Just those two schools.
Mm-hmm. You, began teaching at Central Consolidated in its first year. Was that 1950?
Mm-hmm.
And you taught English and library. Well, you got a degree in English and library science from Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
When was it that you went to Columbia? Was it between 46 and 50, I guess? Or after you started teaching?
No, after 50.
Okay, so you...
I have started before then, I don't think I finished it until like 50.
So you took, you took off from teaching to go get your master's?
No, I did it in the summer.
Oh, you did it in the summer?
Mm-hmm.
So you went to Columbia in New York?
Mm-hmm.
New York City. Okay. You graduated then from Columbia in 54.
So I went 50 through 54.
Uh-huh.
This was 4 summers.
And 1954 was the year of mm-hmm. Brown versus Board of Education. But it was long after that Harford County schools integrated,
mm-hmm.
about 10 years after, or maybe more.
And then, you know, they were hesitant. They didn't do it until they got pushed to do it,
mm-hmm.
because they were getting cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NAACP
had
certain people, you know, had trial cases.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had, at first, they only took some. You know, they had to write to see if they could be accepted, and they only accepted a few.
Mm-hmm.
And they turned down Dwight Pettit. Do you hear of him? He's now a lawyer.
Dwight who?
Pettit.
Pettit.
He was in the Aberdeen section.
Uh-huh.
And he was one of those persons whose his father had, was one of the trial cases, tried to get him into one of the white schools. And I think they turned him down at first.
Right here in Harford County, right, do you remember... what school did they try to get him into?
Aberdeen High School now, and I'm not positive. I don't know whether you should put that in the report, but I do know, when I just recently, he was one of the early ones, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Stephen P. Moore's son, Dwight Pettit.
Uh-huh.
They were the early ones to try to go to one of the white schools, and it had to be a court case, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No,
did it succeed?
Did they succeed in getting in?
In getting the case?
I think they took them in. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. But it was a court case.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember how that turned out? Is that what led to integration in Harford County, or did they finally just do it?
No, there were court cases which finally caused them to integrate schools in Harford.
And that didn't happen.
They did not do it on their own. They were forced to.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in like 64, 65.
Yes, and 65, 65.
It was 65.
Before it was wide open policy that everybody mm-hmm. would go.
Right.
But prior to that, they had all been court cases.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to take everybody that applied. And they would tell our principals not to send them. Dr. Willis would say to our principals, don't send them. You know, they would put pressure on black principals
mm-hmm.
not to ask for stuff and not to send, you know, not to have to talk to your parents. kind of keep them from applying, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Keep them from applying for,
to go to one of the other schools.
To go to the white schools.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this case being tried, the Pettit and the Moore?
I remember when the NAC, yeah, and they had a lawyer from Baltimore, Mrs. Jackson. I don't know her full name,
mm-hmm.
but I know Mrs. Jackson was their lawyer. They won the case that they could go, that they were cases.
They won the case.
They accepted.
Mm-hmm. So what happened then? They were allowed to go to Aberdeen High School.
Well, no, certain people went to ballet.
Uh-huh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that time at all? What happened? Did he actually attend, and what was it like for him?
Oh, he attended. Well, it was difficult, I'm sure, for him.
Did you know him personally?
I know him. Yeah, he works down in Hex. You see a black gentleman in Hex? Have you ever gone to Hex in the shoe department?
Yeah.
Have you ever had a black gentleman there? Steve's got a lot of personality.
Huh. No, I don't think I have mm-hmm. seen him there.
Because he came home because his father passed and he stays there with his mom.
Oh, really?
And he works here. Mm-hmm. He's a college graduate now.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
But, because he has talked. I've heard those people say, you know, how difficult it was for them. Because they always felt like they had to, you know, they had to be worked very, very hard.
Right.
And I don't know how children treated them, but I imagine they may have gotten called some names, or probably, I've seen this happen, even with integration, that where if there's a black child and you're selecting people, you know,
mm-hmm.
teams and so forth,
right.
that so person's the last to be chosen.
Right.
You know, because it's better now. We have very few. Most of them are good people, and they got a lot of personality, and they're go-getters, and kids kind of seek them. But yeah. it's in the early parts, it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were choosing teams. That poor child would be standing there for last. Mm-hmm. The teacher just had to put him somewhere. No one would choose him.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was that kind of a thing that went on that would make them feel.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And lots of times being ignored in the classroom, even by teachers. And sometimes the spot where a black child's placed.
Oh, no one else would sit there?
Mm-hmm. No. But, you know, sometimes you never get them being see them being placed in earlier times, you know, being placed forward, mm-hmm. back row or something like that.
Okay.
Or being last to be called. I don't see that in my school.
Mm-hmm.
I think, but during the early times,
mm-hmm.
my daughter who came out of North Hartford, said that there were times that she would be ignored.
Hmm.
Even after the integration.
Mm-hmm. In the 60s?
Mm-hmm. 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 No, she was just born in 68.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. That's her idea.
Oh. Huh. That's your daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Born in 68. Boy. Okay. So then you're talking about the late 70s?
Yeah, and she and through high school, she encountered that.
Hmm.
And, mm-hmm. and she also encountered this. She's a good student.
Mm-hmm.
She'd always been in the top groups. And when she, her second year at North Hartford Middle, she came home and she said to me, "Mom, why am I in this class? Those kids in there, they don't know anything and they're not doing anything. And I can't sit in that class all year." I said, "What class is this?" And she said, "In my English class, Mom, I just can't sit in there." She's a good writer. She'd always been. She's like me. Mm-hmm. And I said, "Well, I have to go up there." So I went up to the school and I said, "Could you tell me a little bit about this group that my teacher's in?" And then I said, "Well, why is she in there?" And the teacher says, "Well, I don't know. That's what's on." I said, "Well, she wasn't in there last year. Now, how could you say that's on a card? Who put that on a card?" And she said, "Well, I think they must have got mixed up at the end of last year." I said, "Well, that's fine. I'll go see the principal." And I went down there and I talked to him. And he said, "Mrs. Barrett, I understand what you're saying, and I don't know how she got there." And somebody had mixed that. She'd gotten one of those teachers who didn't think blacks ought to be there. And they changed her section on her part. But you can believe they got her out of there.
So she was in a lower section.
Than she should have been. They hadn't put her. She'd been in the top. She'd been the only black person in course. That meant when they put her in the slow group, she couldn't be in course. And I said, well, to the principal, I said, well, it can't be handled either. I know where I can take my problem. Oh, no, Mrs. Berry, you don't have to do that. Well, look, and I'll call you tonight. And he called me that night and said that somehow that. And I said, well, you know, this bothers me even more because I said that all the children you had, why didn't have to happen to my child who's black? So I don't think it was done in good faith.
No.
And the other thing was my son, that's this guy right here on the side. Those are all my children up there. When he left Forest Hill and went to North Hartford, coming from sixth grade then, he was going up to North Hartford. And when they first got there, they put him in reading groups. And they didn't even check his record, looked at him, the teacher. She stuck him in the slow reading group. And when he said, Mom, I'm in there with all these people can't read. I said, well, why are you in there? He said, I don't know. That's where they put me. I said, well, let me see your reading book. He said, I know all these books and stuff they use. I know what books are. And I said, no, you can't be in there. So I went up there then and I talked to some principal and he said, and I said, well, why was he put there? He said, well, was the children came in. I said, but why did you pick a black child to put in this slow reading group without you? If you had doubts, why didn't you test him? Test him.
You'd think everybody would be tested before they're put into a
room. Yeah, But then he bought, I said, well, test him. And he tested him because he's reading above average. Reading above average. And he sent me a message home every day that he would be moved out of there and put in his where he belonged.
So you had to be ever vigilant to make sure that your kids were getting
even
proper.
Even
in the 1970s.
In the 1970s, you still had to be on top of it. And I suspect in some schools, a lot of that goes on now, but I must admit that I don't see too much of that anymore. I really don't. I think teachers are trying to teach children, regardless of color. And they need to start doing it because whether they can see it or not, this population is fast changing.
Oh, very fast, ma'am. Yes.
The American population is changing. You get all these Hispanics and the minorities. You're going to find they end up with more minorities in these schools than you do have, you know, whites.
Right.
And so by the year 2000 something, the schools are going to be loaded. So they need to realize that, you know, you got to teach children.
Right.
You got to teach children.
Okay. Now you started, when Central Consolidated became Hickory Elementary School in 65? Okay, and you stayed on there to teach.
I was asked to stay. I was going to go to Aberdeen High School. But the principal, who then was Lou Seidel, asked me if I would stay on that summer to change, they paid me to stay that summer to change the, I was then doing English and library science, change the library over to an elementary school library. So I worked through the summer and I said, well, I'll help you during the summer, but when school starts, I'm going to go on to Aberdeen High School. Well, he came to me at the end of the summer and he said, would you stay on for 1 year? Well, I guess I could do you that favor. So I stayed there for that 1 year. Then at the end of that year, he said, can you stay? We'd like to have you stay. And I said, well, I have enjoyed my work here with elementary kids. Because, see, with Central, we did elementary. So I could do elementary or high. It didn't bother me. So I said, well, you know, I just may do that, Mr. Seidel. But I said, I'm not saying I'm staying until I try it this 1 year. And then at the end of that year, I thought, well, I really like that. So I like telling stories, you know. So I decided to stay. I've been there ever since.
With elementary school, teach, school age, what grades are you teaching?
K through 5. Because, see, I'm doing the library work. perceived before Central closed, I had become full-time librarian because I did English, but with all those themes and things, when I got my master's and had library service, they then said to me, what are you going to do? We want you to teach English. I said, yeah, but I may do library because I want all those themes degree and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved reading, so I said, I think I'll do library. So I decided to do library.
Mm-hmm. What were your duties as librarian? Were you the librarian or?
At first, I was part-time librarian. Then I became full-time librarian. Mm-hmm. So as a librarian, we had to teach. We teach research skills. We work with mm-hmm. we try to get kids interested in reading good literature.
Mm-hmm.
We try to help kids with their research skills. We acquaint kids with all kinds of materials. You know, we let them know that we don't know everything, but it's important that you know where to find the answers
right.
to those questions that you have to know answers for.
Right. Okay, we're back and we're talking about Mrs. Berry's librarian work at Hickory Elementary School. So you were in charge of putting together the library, and you, even at the elementary school level, you would teach kids how to do papers or...
Yeah, well, see, when we were doing the elementary central, I had all the library places to work with, so we couldn't do too much with the elementary then.
Oh, I see.
But now we do try to help encourage them. We try to really now to tie in with the schooling and the curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Library lessons try. If they're talking about mysteries, you know, if that's their genre, mystery their genre, then we try to give them additional information. We enhance what's being done in the classroom about mysteries mm-hmm. and acquaint them with all those kinds of things. And back then, we did that with the high schools, but we didn't have as much time to do it with the elementary when we were Central Consolidated.
Mm-hmm.
But at Hickory, as we just had all elementary, now we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Help them with their, you know,
yeah.
research skills. And teach them how to use an almanac, teach them how to use a thesaurus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's so valuable to get at an early age, too. Let's move on to your married life. You married George Berry.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up around here, too?
In the Rocks area.
Oh, really?
Up near Rock State Farm.
Okay. I knew the Berry family on Rocks Ridge Road.
That's George. Albert Berry, the axe handler.
Yes, I remember Albert Berry, yes. Okay. As a child, I remember mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my husband, George.
Okay.
Son of Albert Berry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, did you go to school together at Fairview?
No, we did not go to school together.
How did you meet him?
He just through church, like I said.
Went to church together.
No, we did not. But he visited my church often.
Uh-huh.
He visited my church often.
Uh-huh.
And that's how I met him.
Uh-huh. Okay, and you were married what year?
I think in 59. Okay. August 8th in 59.
Uh-huh. Okay. And where did you live when you got married?
On Bridge and Shop Road.
Okay.
I've lived all my life in these two places. Mm-hmm. The house, it's still there. It's really, really beautiful now. It's all been, we sold it to lovely two young twin boys. They fixed it up nicely, and it's still staying there. We're very proud of it. It's the second house on Bearton Shop Road if you're going down it from the old 23.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Second house on the left.
Uh-huh. Huh.
And so I only lived two places, there and here. Well, I stayed with my husband's people until this house was built.
Mm-hmm.
But we built it in 59 also. So we started this house pretty much soon after we were married.
Okay. Right here at Phillips Mill and
Jarrettsville
Road.
Jarrettsville Road. So we've been here ever since.
So you built this house?
We built this house.
In 59 or 60?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what did your husband do?
He was a lab technician at Edgewood Arsenal.
Oh, okay.
In animal research.
Mm-hmm. All right. So you were two busy professionals then. He was working
well, he's not a professional. He was a lab technician.
Okay.
They helped to care for the animals that they were to use for testing.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And you had 5 children?
No.
6?
No, we had 2. And okay. This third one was a foster child.
Oh, okay.
Who was visiting my son. We were taking him to a baseball game at the time that his mother took so sick. And when we came back from the baseball game, we called her to see if we were late, you know how those baseball games are.
Mm-hmm.
So we called her to see if we could keep him overnight. And she was no answer. So when we got to church that Sunday, this brother to the father, foster father, said, "Did you know Gladys took sick last night?" And we said, "No." And she was in the hospital. That's why we couldn't get any answer.
Oh.
But when we went for him, she sent word out that she couldn't come out. She didn't feel good. So anyhow, we came home from church and called the hospital, and they said not to bring him down. She was extremely sick. She was in intensive care, and she was dead by Monday morning.
Mm.
So he didn't know what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And he was just so upset. And he didn't want to, the welfare was offered to put him in Baltimore County with the family, and he didn't want to go. So my children said, "Mom, why don't you let him stay here?" So I said, "Well, if you all will be here." And my son said, "Yeah, Mom." But he said, "Just when we get bigger, I have to have my own bedroom." So we finished mm-hmm. our basement downstairs. We have everything downstairs. But it's just like a kitchen area, dining room area, sitting area, and everything. So, and we put a bedroom down there for him. Because it's a full, you know, space of this high up here. There's a lot of room. It's very nice.
Wow. So you had 2 of your own, plus the foster son.
And these 2 are adopted.
Well, they are. Okay, so you have 2 adopted and took off on.
That's why I've been teaching 50 years, because I haven't stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
It's hard to teach 50 years if you've had children and stayed out a while with your children.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you lived here in Jarrettsville all that time.
And this is considered Forest Hill.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, this is Jarrettsville Road, but Forest Hill.
You're kind of just outside of Cooperstown.
Just outside of Cooperstown.
Yeah, we're actually a long ways from Jarrettsville, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you know your grandparents at all?
Only on my... I knew my grandmother on my father's side.
Mm-hmm.
And she was a very nice old lady. She lived in the city. And my father would every year take a week out of the summer to go and spend a week with her in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And then she would come back out and spend a week with us.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
And that's how I got to know her. But she was a very nice lady.
What do you remember about her?
I remember that just like my father, she liked to sing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when she would come to visit her, she and my father would have, you know, they would just sit down, everybody would just gather around, you know, in the living room. Or in the dining room, and we would just have this fellowshipping with singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I also remember that she liked good homemade cake.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother was a good cake baker, so we always had a wonderful cake baked whenever she was coming.
Mm-hmm. What was her name?
Ooh, Rachel.
Rachel.
Rachel Bond.
Bond. Mm-hmm. And she lived in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
So was your father was born in Baltimore?
No, she lived back in the country now.
Okay, so she was a Harford County native?
She was
native?
A Harford County native, but she moved to Baltimore later after she married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't remember her husband?
Mm-hmm. When Michael gets... This is strange. When Michael, the boy that the foster child gets here, he'll know all this information. Because when Mr. Barry was unable to live in his house, we brought him here to live.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael just loved Michael. Michael loved him. And at nighttime, they would sit downstairs on the couch looking at supposedly looking at TV, but Michael would be questioning him about his family.
Really?
Yeah. I'm thinking now. It was James Bond.
Huh, okay.
But he knows all Mr. Barry's history.
Huh, I'll be darned. But you don't remember your grandfather too much, just your grandma?
I don't remember him too much. I saw him when I was little, mm-hmm. but by the time I got big enough to remember him much at all, he passed.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember my grandmother.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any? What do you remember most about your early childhood? What kind of person were you becoming, and why?
Okay, in my early childhood, I think I was a. I guess I got this from my mother. I could see myself beginning to be a person who wanted to make the very best of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think I got that from my mother, saying that, you know, we don't have a lot of money. We don't have a great big house, but our house can be clean. Our clothes can be clean, and she's always said this, I'm not a teacher to teach you perfect, you know, English and everything, but when you go to school, you can learn perfect English, and you can know that you have to grow up to be a person who talks well, and that you, regardless of what we have, you still have to live in this world, and you have to make the best of yourself in order to fit into this world,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's, you know, stuck with us, and no matter, even though neither of my parents had high-paying jobs, but my father always had hogs. They always planted a garden. We were never hungry,
mm-hmm.
and whenever we came to the table, you know, there was always enough for all of us to leave the table feeling good,
mm-hmm.
and that was important, you know. And those were things that I remember about growing up. And I also remember by growing up that when company came, you know, we could be there, but if these were adults talking, that we didn't come in from play and interrupt our parents while they were talking with adults.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it was an emergency, we had to come, we always knew to say, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we could, you know, say what we wanted to say. And the other thing I remember from growing up is that when the people that lived around us, if anyone was sick in my house, neighbors came, no matter whether they be white or black. And we didn't have any black neighbors. We lived in a white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody got sick in my house, the Tucker family would come.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody died, there was a relative of ours, the Tucker family was there. These are white families, the Barrows. The Tuckers, the Barrows, and these are the people I played with. I played with the Tucker children, the Bear children. These were all white children.
Mm-hmm.
And we played together. We respected one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and never once did any of those children call us a bad name.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was because their parents had taught them how to play and get along with people.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents had taught me that. And then the other thing I remember from growing up was that my parents had taught us that she had to work. It wasn't that she just didn't want to be at home with us, but she had to work in order that we could eat and have clothing. And so she so trained us that the oldest one took over, looked, you know, cared for the family.
Mm-hmm.
But all of you, she said, must help that person. So we were taught cooperation and support. We knew that my sister, my brother, Herbert, was the oldest, but then when he moved off to work, then the next person, Howard and Eddie, all down the line, and every one of them could cook, each of us could cook.
Mm-hmm.
My brother Eddie could cook just like my mom.
Wow, that's great.
He watched her closely, you know. Yeah. And these are things that I remembered. And then
mm-hmm.
when my mother was deceased at Christmas time, it was always Eddie. And my mom was seldom home on Christmas Day.
Oh.
Because she was out at the ends.
Cooking for them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She went two places. She would have Christmas dinner at the Enders by one, and she would move off to a second family who had Christmas dinner in the evening. And she made the rolls for both of those homes.
Mm.
So we went home, but she made sure that our Christmas dinner was planned, that we had everything that, and we always had turkey.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother Eddie would cook that turkey.
Hmm.
And you know, we would have our turkey dinner, but we would have it without my mother. Every year, she was never there, but she had taken care of everything that had to be done to make sure that we had a good Christmas dinner. And the same thing happened with us for New Year's, because she always made sure that we had one of her homemade cakes for New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
And for this New Year's, she died on New Year's Day.
Oh.
She had gone to work for this family out in Forest Hill, and she cooked their dinner. And she knew my father would be at the school, because he had to go out New Year's Eve to check at the school to see that the fires were going, everything was good, and nothing was happening to the pipes or anything. And so the people that were going to bring her home had gone to take some company home to Baltimore and catch the plane. And she decided, well, I'll just walk and catch my husband out at the end. And in walking, she had a heart attack. And she died on the highway. And so, they got my father and everything. And then we were eating her cake after New Year's Day, and she was pissed. And that was really something.
Oh, it must have been awful sad.
But she made sure that we had everything that we needed.
Mm-hmm.
She planned that menu. She'd sit down with my brother and she'd tell him what time to put his turkey on.
How old were you?
I must have been. When she passed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I was teaching.
Oh, okay. This
when
little
she passed. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was teaching. She died in 54, I think.
Okay.
So I was teaching.
You were just starting to teach?
Just started teaching.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That was the year I was born. 54.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
So I have a lot of pleasant memories, even though, she wasn't there. She was such a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
That she planned all of that for us. And we understood, we accept the fact that she's not here, but she can't be.
Mm-hmm.
My father would be there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's why I say the people who today now want to say that a lot of the kids are bringing the behavior that they're bringing because both parents work. I think it is, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
It does not have to be that way, because we didn't have parents at home. We came home every evening and unlocked that door and went in.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no parent there.
Today you'd be called latchkey
children. Latchkey children. Mm-hmm.
So it has more to do with the type of parenting.
Yes.
That's
good. And what you want to do, because... Right. And there are still a lot of parents who do take care of their children when their children are going to get home first. You know what I mean?
Right.
They instructed what to do, and they know. And they still give them love and care when they get home. But not enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough parents are doing that.
Mm-hmm. you were a very studious child, I guess.
Yeah.
And you became interested in reading and writing somehow. Mm-hmm.
I used to play school all the time.
You used to play school?
Mm-hmm.
As a game?
As a game. I don't know whether it was really so much the game part, but I would sit down and I would pretend that I taught a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have my dolls in the chairs, and I'd be the teacher, and I'd teach this lesson, and then I would give them a test. I'd have my dolls all named, and I would give all of them a test.
Was that your doorbell?
Was that Kate?